Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, December 14th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 153, the first paragraph, "It May Seem Incredible That These Men," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Bonnie B., 12 Traditions, Mary P., Reader of the Text, Robin P., Dana P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Stephanie L. The reference number for Monday, December 13th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,230, and for this morning, Tuesday, December 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,236. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Gwen N., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Don. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Don. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered today by the grace of God, currently in Florida. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. And now we'll ask Mary P. to please read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 153, the first paragraph, starting with, "It may seem incredible that these men," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Robin P. to begin reading. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Dawn. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. It may seem incredible that these men are to become happy, respected, and useful once more. How can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? The practical answer is that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. Should you wish them above all else and be willing to make use of our experience, we are sure they will come. The age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. You know, wow, I love this paragraph. It's amazing because I did feel like I was in such misery, hopelessness, and bad repute, and I am so joyful today and so grateful today. And I do feel like a walking miracle. I've been abstinent for over 5 years and coming up on 6 years. And, you know, I'm a walking miracle. And, you know, some people say, well, the age of miracles was in the Bible. And I just have experienced so many miracles myself, you know, getting abstinent, and I've gone through a divorce. My husband and I got remarried and very happily, and went through some amazing, miraculous things. And I'm sensitive to EMF, and God has electromagnetic field radiation. And God has, it's been very painful for me, and God has provided a home for us repeatedly that is safe for us. And I'm just so grateful that no matter what happens, God keeps providing. And, I went through so much hell with the food for so many years. I was a low bottom, bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive. I felt like it's all the same disease. And to now experience life in recovery. It's like two different experiences of being on the planet. And I'm so grateful. And tomorrow we're flying to Florida to be there for a month with family. And one day at a time, I get to show up abstinently with my family and do that. And we get to see where we're meant to live after that. And a faith walk. And I have the tools in the steps to know that no matter what happens, there's always a solution. And I get to be of service and to walk through the steps and to help other people walk through the steps. And I'm so grateful that I have I have everything I need today. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin P., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Donna B.
Richard
Donna
E.
B. Richard
Stephanie
E.
L.
Stephanie L.
Sherry H. M.
Sherry H. M.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Okay, let's start with that lineup. I have Donna B., Richard E., Stephanie L., Sherry H. M., and Bruce E. Go ahead, Donna. Please get us started.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. I love that it's a practical answer. So this isn't some kind of fantasy answer or ridiculously hopeful answer. It is a practical answer that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. So if it is possible that a person like me could put down all my alcoholic food ingredients and the volume eating by working the steps and developing a relationship with a higher power who is still a mystery to me, who I still don't understand, who I still don't have a perfect concept of. And by doing that, have been able to live in recovery entirely abstinent, drawing closer to that higher power, developing a stronger fellowship, being of service to others, could happen to me. It could definitely happen to anybody else. And that's just practical. It isn't a fairy tale, fantasy, Disney movie. It's real. I do believe it's a miracle that I am living in recovery. And one of the prayers that I use is I surrender to the possibility that all my fears are false. I surrender to the possibility that with God, anything is possible. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Richard E., please share with us, followed by Stephanie L. Good morning, Richard.
Hi, good morning. It's Richard E. I wish I could say that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but I'm not. I started in October. I'm still going through some difficulty right now. I'm on step four. I have a sponsor. I have tried a bunch of different things to try to become healed. I know we're never cured. And it is incredible to me that these men are happy, respected, and useful once more. I have a difficult time understanding how they can rise out of misery, bad repute, and hopelessness, as is written in the book. I had done well, but I tripped and fell yesterday, and I keep saying to myself, how am I ever going to escape this? How am I ever going to beat one of the miracles that our previous person that shared said she is, and I'm really happy for her. So I'm kind of at a bit of a loss, The only thing left for me is to just keep on pushing and maybe talk to some people and find out how they did it and have my sponsors help. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Richard E. And now Stephanie L., please share with us, followed by Sherry H.M. And if you'd like, please share where you're calling from. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L. here, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And we are in a miracle because it is raining right now. So I just want to shout out to the rain. It's actually pretty beautiful to have the rain. So, wow. I can only speak for myself here when I say that, you know, I relate to this paragraph. Just last week we shared about, or we read about the four horsemen, the terror, the bewilderment, the frustration, and the despair. And, you know, here we talk about the fact that these people, and I'll speak for myself, I have risen out of misery and hopelessness. I have been taken out of that misery and hopelessness by this program. And, you know, I was in relapse for 2 years, and every day I got on this vision line. And sometimes I got on this vision line just so I could be with you all to just get in the shower. Okay, I couldn't even get myself out of bed. I was in such a state of depression because I was binging myself to sleep every night. I didn't want to eat anymore, and I couldn't stop, and I had no power, and I just wanted to die. And so I would dial in, and I'd put it on speakerphone. I'd get in the shower. I'd get dressed, and I'd try and start my day. And it was like freaking Groundhog Day every day. But here's the thing, and my sponsor says this, and I love it. She says, God puts out a search and rescue mission for us hopeless compulsive overeaters. And that's exactly what happened to me. I don't know what shifted. I don't know what changed. But what I can tell you is by working the steps in this book, I was able to connect with the power that has taken this problem from me one day at a time, as long as I keep doing the things I need to do to stay connected with the power, which today is a lot of, you know, keeping the channel clear by doing 10 steps and prayer and meditation and then putting my hand out and being of service and sponsoring others. And, you know, the age of miracles is still with us. It is a miracle. How does one go from that despairing wreck and that darkness to the light of being in recovery? You know, and I can only say that my own recovery is a testament to that miracle. And if you're struggling and if you're feeling hopeless, keep coming back. Get a sponsor. This works. Like I said, some days I couldn't even get in the shower without dialing into this line and hearing you all talking. And it seemed so far away, but I was able to get out of bed. And eventually the miracle happened for me again. And it's out there. It's there for you. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. from California. And now we'll have Sherry H.M., followed by Bruce E., and then I'll be opening up the lines. If you're just joining us, we are on page 153, the first paragraph. It starts with, "It may seem incredible that these men." So please share with us, Sherry.
Good morning. I'm Sherry H.M., recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict from Mount Vernon, Washington State. Oh, wow. It is so true that I could not do this by myself. I just couldn't. I tried a million different ways, and I was always stumped because I had a good relationship with God, the God with whom nothing is impossible, absolutely nothing. But that said, I was just on this sugar, you know, thing all the time, and it's like all I could think about. I could never picture being delivered. And then I met with a friend from Al-Anon. She told me she shared her experience, strength, and hope in the OA program. And that was about almost 7.5 years ago. And I just threw up my hands on the way home, and I just prayed, oh, God, I can't do this. I can't. You're going to have to help me. And so then, you know, working the steps, because they really, really work, and using the tools, and listening to lots of podcasts of you guys, going to lots of meetings, doing service, and all that, it's like one day at a time, the miracles came. And I just can't believe here we are facing Christmas, and I'm not even thinking about all the sweet treats that used to just, you know, decorate not only my house with Christmas, all the Christmas decorations, but also I'm not thinking about all those sweet treats, and that is an absolute miracle. So I'm so grateful for this program and all of you guys, and I just can't express my gratitude and to God, with whom nothing's impossible. So thanks a lot, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Now, Bruce E., please share with us.
Hey, thank you. This is Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm recovered and very grateful today. And, yeah, looking back on my life here, I had about a year or more period of time when various stages of depression, and couldn't get out of the substance abuse, couldn't lift myself out. And of course I didn't have a higher power at that time. I didn't know of one. And so that was the big deal. But just coming out of that, just living in that for a year, and then various amounts of it over the years since then. It's been over a year, maybe more, since I've had any real depression. Maybe 2 or 3 years since I've had any real depression now. So very grateful for that. And that it says here, it may seem incredible, but it isn't. It does seem incredible. And when I was in that depression, it seemed incredible. You know, I mean, how could I, you know, I didn't think I could ever get out of this. But I did. And just even in the last week or so, I've had not depression, but just discouragement. And I'm back out of it, you know. So, you know, if I just hang in there, I work my way through it. God gets me through it. You know, it's just real interesting that way. And it says here that should you wish them above all else. So, you know, I gotta do something myself, right? I guess you can't sit around in this and expect God to just, or somebody else just bring me out of it. I got to do something. So I got to take those steps to do, you know, get on the calls, make calls, talk to people, read the literature, get a sponsor, work through the stuff. And I got to do something myself. I can't just not do anything. Willing to make use of this experience, we are sure they will come. The age of miracles is still with us, and I absolutely believe that. I think I'm a miracle. I think many that I hear on this line are a miracle. Others that I meet, talk to on the phone, they're miracles. They were all caught up in this addiction at one time and couldn't seem to get out of it, and now they're not doing that. And so we are walking, okay, Talking miracles. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. And I'm now going to open up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We're on page 153, the first paragraph, starting with, it may seem incredible that these men, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. We value your experience, but we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Andy?
Harry W.
Bonnie B. Florida.
Ella W.
Okay.
Elaine G.
Was there Ann W. in there?
Carrie
Ann
W.
B.
Carrie W.
Elaine G.
Ann
B.
Elaine G. from New York.
Elaine G. I have Carrie W., Ann B., Elaine G. Who did I miss?
Duella W.
Duella W.?
Yes, Duella.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, I have Carrie W., Ann B., Elaine G., Suella W., and Deborah G. Who else did I miss? Okay. All right. Let's go ahead with Carrie W., followed by Ann B. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carrie W. from Massachusetts, and thank you so much for your service. This is a remarkable paragraph, and I get so much out of it. You know what it says? How can they rise out of such misery? I mean, I am an ultimate miracle, if there's a miracle. I mean, I was in the depths of death with anorexia and bulimia, and I really don't know how I'm walking today. But because of this program, I've been restored to sanity, and I'm recovered today, which is an absolute miracle. But one thing that really pops out in my mind is when it says, if you should wish above all else and be willing to make the use of our experience, we are sure they will come. So the word willingness to me is really important because of the fact, even when we're, you know, going through the steps, all we have to do is willing to believe in a power that's greater than ourselves. We don't have to believe in God. We don't have to believe in anything specific, but just willing to believe something out there is greater than us. And, you know, what came to mind to me is in the 12 and 12, when we look under step three, the first paragraph says, practicing step three is like opening a door, which to all appearances is still closed or locked. All we need is the key and the decision to swing the door open. There's only one key, and it's called willingness. Once unlocked by willingness, the door opens of itself. And looking through it, we shall see a pathway beside which is an inscription. It reads, this is the way to faith that works. And to me, I mean, that is one of the cornerstones of the program, to just be willing. And, you know, to want something is very different than to be willing. So I just want to share that and how much I express you, all your service. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Terry W. from Massachusetts. Ann B., please share with us now, followed by Elaine G. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann B., in Westchester, New York, and I am a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 17 years. And yes, I do believe that what has happened to me is a miracle. Prior to a program, any diet that I tried lasted about 2 weeks. If that, I really thought that the idea of losing weight was hopeless. I found diets insulting. I certainly knew that if I ate a whole package of my favorite junk food, that was not a healthy thing to be doing. I didn't need someone to tell me that. The question was, how do I stop doing that? And I did not stop. My higher power stopped me. And I had, you know, a clear spiritual experience. Actually, I was one of those who had a dramatic spiritual experience right at the start, although I do not think I would have been able to hold on to it without the steps and without the group. Because I've certainly heard people sharing that they had a dramatic spiritual experience and they relapsed anyway because, you know, they didn't keep doing the steps. And sometimes it's hard to understand why they work, but that's mysterious. And but it is clear to me that my will not work, and that the only thing that does work is my spiritual experience. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. from New York. And now Elaine G., will you share with us, followed by Suella W. Good morning, Elaine, and please let us know where you're calling from.
This is Elaine from New York. Now, this program has taught me one thing, actually a lot of things, that I can't lie and feel good about it. I mean, like, this petition that I was supposed to go see today, cut and color. I decided in my building they had a salon. I got it done there, and I told her a lie in the text. And actually, I didn't send it. This was meant for me. I forgot to send it. And then she calls me today. Aren't you coming? I said, no, didn't you get my text? And it was a lie, saying that that I can't make it. I got too many things to do before I go to Florida on Friday. And that was a lie. Yeah, I have things to do, but I could have made it there. But I had my got my hair done anyway. So I had to own up to it, you know, and I just text her that it was a lie, you know, and that I hurt her a lot. And if she doesn't take me back, I'll understand, you know. But, you know, if I was abstinent, probably I wouldn't have done this. And it seems like when I'm not abstinent, I think I could get away with anything, doing my will, you know. And beside that, the program has told me to be honest. I wasn't honest at first, but I had to own up to it and be honest, you know, whatever the consequences are. You know, if she'll ever do my hair again, you know. And anyway, I am grateful for this program because of all the fellowship, all the people I talk to from the meetings. And just like, you know, like I talked to a lot of people from all over the United States from these meetings. And they're better than family, you know. Because family, you can't tell the truth to, and you can't tell them everything. But the people in OA, you can, you know, because probably whatever you told them, they went through already themselves, you know, and they can ID with, you know. But all I know is that I guess it was meant for me to get caught in a lie, you know, not sending that text. And which was a lie anyway, but yeah, my conscience. I got a conscience today, you know. And before I came to the program, didn't have much of a conscience, you know. Just you know, like, and I come every time I compulsive eat, I get this thinking that I could get away with it. No, but I always get caught, and nothing turns out good, you know. Anyway, I'm happy to be on this Vision for You. I love this meeting, the Big Book meeting, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. Now Suella W., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Suella. Star 1, Suella.
Hi, I'm Suella W. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. I'm feeling kind of confused about miracles at the moment in one way, because I feel like it's a miracle that I'm abstinent at the moment. I'm in early recovery, but I just, I'm going through the hardest time in my life, and part of that is, like someone else shared, I'm EMS sensitive, and I've just had, they've just put a lot more signal where I live, and my health has just got like 20 times worse practically overnight. And I'm just, and I've had other things going on in my personal life as well that have been very hard at the same time. And it's just really, I'm finding it very hard to surrender, and it's been a problem for a long time of finding somewhere safe to live. And I just feel like I get into this kind of like, you know, it's hard to let go, and I kind of just get into this kind of autopilot of looking everywhere I can and just exhausting myself. And my health's so bad at the moment that it's just really hard to have the energy to. And I'm really just kind of finding it really hard to let go and trust my higher power and believe that my higher power could actually find me somewhere, because it's so hard. And it's just I just feel like my kind of, you know, spiritual sobriety is lessening, and I'm having moments of really surrendering, but then most of the time I'm just feeling angry with my higher power and trying to control the situation, and then I'm surrendering again. And it's just, and I'm having like physical symptoms that are absolutely torturous, and it's crazy making. And I'm stuck, you know, I've had some food cravings coming recently. When I'm eating, I'm just like wolfing the food down, but I'm doing, you know, I'm doing everything I can, and I'm calling, you know, making calls and I'm working a lot, the steps around it, but I can feel myself at the same time really going into just like, you know, I'm angry with my higher power, and I'm just letting myself kind of express that to my higher power. And then really just trying to, you know, just be grateful. There's so much still for me to be grateful for, and I'm doing gratitude lists, but I just feel like I'm kind of trying to climb up a hill in terms of staying mentally and spiritually sober around all this. So I'm slipping down. And
time.
Thanks. So that's, yeah, it's just something I'm trying to keep working at and surrendering, because I'm doing my best. I feel like I'm doing my best anyway. And I don't know how this particular meeting works, but I'd be really grateful to get Robin P's number if that's possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Suella W. Did you want to share where you're calling from?
I'm actually calling from England. So.
Okay, very good. All right. Thank you so much. And now we'll have Deborah G. share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names and people to share. So Deborah G., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from so the members on our list might contact you if they wish to.
Hi, Dawn. Good morning. Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you for your service and everyone for your service making this meeting possible and all the shares 12-stepping me today. And I was remembering coming from a place of that mental insanity and mental twist continually going on with the food, and easily angered and brain fog and itching in my skin, and that's just, and more things. And then the suffering in that spiritual malady on page 52, it was just awful and couldn't get out, just trying. That's why I went for the food, to try and get some ease and comfort. And then finally going in with honesty, that first step principle of that first step was honesty, I learned when I went through the steps. And saturating myself in that first step, honesty. Stop believing the lie that I wasn't a compulsive overeater. Stop giving power to the food. Instead, giving power to that power in step two. And really allowing that power to, you know, learning that I could have a deeper relationship with that power by going through the rest of the steps. And that a transformation could happen. I got some hope in just going through the rest of the steps, you know, living that way and feeling that transformation and getting the freedom that comes from going through those steps and living in 10, 11, and 12 continually. Found myself today, I've got to do a 10th step because I found my thinking getting off. You know, and then emotional disturbance happening. And I need to do that 10 step. And I'm just really grateful that I have these steps. I have this way of living so I can stay in that grace. And I don't have to go to the food today. And that, oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you, power. Thank you, loving presence, God. That's all I have.
Thank you. And I wanted to mention, we do give a time at the end of the meeting for newcomers to announce their names and numbers so people can contact you. So, Suella, please stick around for that. All right. So now I'm going to open up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on the paragraph on page 153. The first paragraph starts with, "It may seem incredible that these men." So I'd like to take just a couple names if there's people who... we value your experience, but we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
This is Christy M.
Christy
Lorraine
M.
Lorraine N.
Perfect. Christy N. and Lorraine M. Go ahead, Christy. Please share with us.
Yeah. Thank you. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering bulimic, anorexic, and overeater in Oregon. And I like this passage about miracles. And I think coming into recovery, my perception of what a miracle was different. I also think coming in, I didn't really fully understand how much my disease was impacting my day-to-day life, how much it had robbed me in just my relationship and just having serenity. And I don't think I understood how much I was losing until I knew what peace was, until I knew what it was like to not be tormented by an eating disorder every day. And I saw such miraculous changes in my relationship. And I think, you know, for me, maybe the miracle was about, you know, body image, that I was going to come in and have a certain body image. And really the miracle was just more about the spiritual awakening and this emotional centeredness and peace that I had never experienced. So I also, you know, miracles are not really in my will. And the more I try to control or force my perception of what a miracle was, is, you know, the less those happen. And a lot of that is just getting up every day and turning my life and will over to my higher power and trusting the outcome and letting go of the outcome. And I heard this story once told in recovery about this dog who was sitting out the window, and outside there was, you know, a construction crew working on electrical, and the dog's just sitting there barking, wanting to get outside and not knowing the danger. And how sometimes we're like that dog of like, I don't see the bigger picture. I can't possibly know all the things of my higher power. And, you know, I just want that immediate thing, but I don't really see the dangers around the corner. And sometimes I just have to trust my higher power. And I have to trust doors closing and doors opening, for miracles to happen. And I've also found that, you know, my higher power is much more creative than I am. And he has a much, I guess, bigger imagination, and sometimes has a lot more in store for me than I could ever imagine or envision myself. And really, to see that miracle and to see that outcome, I have to be willing to let go and trust what's going to happen, even if it's not what I would choose or what I would want. And I think every day thanks, I'll wrap up. You know, just being abstinent is a miracle. I came into this program having an eating disorder since 14, and I didn't really know that I would ever be able to have a life without it. And so that's a miracle in and of itself. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Now, Lorraine M., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. I am so filled with gratitude listening to all the shares about the miracles, listening to all the miracles just, you know, made me realize, you know, as I sit here in my new little apartment hooking a rug in peace and quiet, and my life has changed so much since I came into this program 5 years ago, but particularly since I came to Visions 2 years ago. And I just the hopelessness and the misery, and I just wanted to die when I came in here. And I never thought I would have the life I have today. And it's because of these 12 steps. And also the steps led me to a meditation practice, which I never was able to do. And the people on the line that don't even know they've helped me, you know, and I just really wanted to express my gratitude today. And so thanks. Just thanks for letting me share that. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine M. And we do have time for one more share. Although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So there is if there's one other person who would like to share this morning, we'd love to hear your name.
Sarit L. from Montreal.
Sarit L. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. I guess God just gave me that these few moments to speak about my miracle, and I'm just 2 days, 2.5 days post-birth. I just have my little miracle, my little baby boy here, and I'm walking through all these emotions and the stress and the family and the politics and the, it's good, it's bad, and it's all mixed together in one, and I could never do this without the miracles that I've had in program. And, you know, working my steps, no matter what, the food goes on a scale and it's weighed and measured and it's clean as much as possible. And the steps have to get worked ever so strong at this point too. So I'm just so grateful to have all of you to be in a meeting in this quiet space, in my house with all the kids, you know, at school, and my kid and me with just my little miracle, enjoying the miracles of God in my life today, with all of you. Thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherit L. from Montreal. And we do have a little more time, so if there's one other person that would like to take about a minute and a half share. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please give me your name. Is there another person that would like to share out there?
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Bonnie? What's your
Connie.
Initial? Oh, Connie.
Connie R.
Connie R. Very good. Go ahead, Connie. About 1 minute.
Hi. Okay. Hi. I just wanted to thank everybody for being on the line today and for the fact that this meeting is always so consistent, whether I'm in program, whether I'm out, whether I'm struggling, whether no matter what's going on, I appreciate so much that this meeting is on, and it reminds me to connect to my higher power. And I just got, like, a jolt yesterday. I also just had a new baby, a preemie, who I'm running back and forth to the hospital. And God, like, just basically told me through program, like, you need to be abstinent because if you're not, then you forget what comes first. And instead, I'm taking care of everybody else and forgetting about myself and my relationship with God. And if that doesn't come, then I'm really not helping anyone, even though it looks like it. So this morning, I had the willingness to make myself abstinent food and reach out to a sponsor. And as I was making it, my first thought was like, it's not going to last. What are you doing? Thank you. I'll wrap up. But right away, like, God is helping me. And he said, right, you can't do it yourself, but I'm here to do it with you. And I'm grateful just for this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. And congratulations to you and to Sherit. We're now going to be closing with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for moderating the meeting, and thank you, everyone, for all the beautiful gratitude. My name is Dana P. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
we'll wait